AI is truly everywhere, and it might be coming to your grocery store soon. AI data centers are taking up a lot of power. How much? I will tell you. How do you get Bitdefender at a nice low price? All that and more on today's Random Thoughts. Hello and welcome to episode number 367 of the Random Thoughts podcast. That is spelled R-A-N-D-U-M-B thoughts.com online. I am your host, Darren O'Neill, and I think it's official. AI is now everywhere. Very interesting. I just got an email from the grocery store that I've been using over the last few years, the Meijer company out of Michigan, and they wanted me to take a survey, and I clicked okay, because Meijer, believe it or not, is one of the only grocery stores, only retail stores that really seems to care about what people say. I've had a few times where after a order that we had with them, and for my grocery shopping needs, it kind of goes like this. I go online, I place the order for what we need, and then the wife goes and picks it up. You just drive right on up. The order is there. You pop your trunk, they put it in the trunk for you, and you are on your way. A very convenient way to do grocery shopping. Saves a lot of time. It still takes some time, obviously, to go through and build the order, but you can do that at your leisure. You don't have to do it all at one time. You can just build your cart throughout the week when you realize you need something and then check out on the day you're ready. But they send a lot of surveys to find out how they're doing. Rate this, rate that. What would you say can make this better or that better? So I usually take the time to do that. And it's amazing to me how many times I was then contacted about something that I had put in the survey, even though I was like, you know, hey, this was no big deal, but you could do this and it would be even better. And quite often got an email, every now and then a phone call, with apologizing for something that I didn't say was a real problem, and often putting some points, whatever you want to call them, into the account to get money off the next time you shopped and all of that. So usually when I see something from them, I will take the 2 to 5 minutes to fill out whatever it is. And this time it was something very different. It was all about AI, and it makes sense if you've been shopping online using Amazon. I think they've renamed it. It was originally called Rufus, the Rufus AI through Amazon to make your shopping more pleasurable. And I don't know, I never saw too much of a use for that, but I've had some instances where, yes, I was kind of curious about the difference between two products. And I actually used that earlier today because I noticed my antivirus Bitdefender. I still use antivirus. I know a lot of people will be like, you don't need it. Yeah, but it's so dirt cheap now. If you wait for the specials, that I think it is a nice added little bit of protection. And it works, of course, on Windows, which I'm not using anymore. Works on Mac, works on Android. And today, because I had realized my Bitdefender only had 5 or 6 days left on the subscription, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to renew. what am I going to pay? Let me go see what Amazon has. And it just happened to be Amazon Prime day, week, month, year. How often? These things seem to last a long time now. But on Amazon, there were basically two choices. One, which was labeled something like Bitdefender 2026 total security, 10 devices, 2 years for, I think it was $85, $87, something like that. And right below, it's just like Bitdefender family pack, 15 devices, 2 years, $49.99. And I'm like, why would 15 devices be cheaper than 10 devices? Well, because that's just how the system works. And to confirm that it was basically the same thing, just a different number of users, I tried out their AI. And I'm like, what's the difference between these two items? And he came back with nothing. You get more for this and it's less. Buy this one. Which, of course, if you're going to always believe the AI, eventually you'll probably get screwed because it's going to lie to you or give you bad information. But in this case, it appeared to be correct. So I spent the $49.99, immediately got the code and went into Bitdefender and it said valid code. I didn't start it yet though, because since it's a different one, I only had the 10 device one. So I can't extend the 10 device one because this is a 15 device subscription. But 15 devices for 2 years for $50 is dirt cheap. And I use it on my system, use it on my parents' system. It's nice because it gives you a little extra knowledge of what is going on if you are managing computers for your parents or your kids or whatever it is. And Bitdefender still seems to be highly rated, even though the need for antivirus may be going down a little. Antivirus at its most pure form, anyway. There's a lot of things now, and I turn a lot of them off, to be fair, but there's a lot of things built into the Bitdefender system that will do things like warning you if you're getting phishing emails, if somebody is using your microphone. For me, it'd be like, ah, there's always somebody talking into your microphone. I'm like, yeah, I'm a podcaster. But for people that don't know, it's great if you get a thing popping up that somebody's trying to access the camera or microphone on your system without your knowledge. So there's a lot of things. While this is not an ad for Bitdefender, at that price, I'm like, why wouldn't you do it? $50, 2 years, 15 devices, and the AI gave me the correct answer. And while doing the survey for Meijer, I was considering exactly where they were going with it. And you could tell on a few of the questions, like, you know, rate, would you highly agree or highly disagree? Would you do these things with AI? And one of them was, would you compare products? And I'm like, yes, absolutely. Would you let it check out for you? No, I don't want an AI to be spending my money without me, the meatbag human being, looking at the order and verifying what's going on. That is one step too far. But I was considering the amount of information that this company has about my daily, what do you eat, what do you drink, what are you using to clean the toilets. A lot of this stuff comes from this company. And I've been doing the pickup thing since COVID. And because you've got their loyalty program, which just means we'll give you money off if we can track you. And I understand that that is a privacy issue, but the money off compared to, hey, what kind of toilet paper are you using? Not sure that that is that big of a deal. And I know that made a lot of people groan, like, no, you must always protect privacy. But I was realizing for a majority of people who do the same thing I do, the information that they have, you could make the suggested items to buy. You could come up with a shopping list where now when I show up to do my shopping, there's no items in the cart yet. But with an AI, and it really doesn't even have to be a smart AI, with any kind of computer learning system that could go back and look at my previous orders, it will know, you know, hey, they buy sauerkraut every 4 weeks, or they buy oatmeal every week, or they buy, you know, this many bananas every week for the last amount of how many weeks. So why not have an AI pre-fill all of this information? So when I go to shop, it's like, yep, you want 6 bananas, right, boss? You want that sweet baby Ray's barbecue sauce? Oh, it's so good. Try to avoid it, but it's so good. Oh, you want a few of the liquid deaths or whatever you drink? That would be very convenient. I mean, I think shopping online and picking it up, one, very convenient to begin with, but two, if you had a smart system, and put that in air quotes, but one thing AI is good at is recognizing patterns. If I could show up and have 80% of the shopping done, it would be a huge time savings. And it would probably help people who are missing things in their order because, oh, I forgot to order whatever. Well, if you ordered that with regularity, the system would remind you that you needed it. Now, I don't know how much I would be using an AI to compare brands of oatmeal or something like that, but it could be an interesting addition. And Amazon talked about this with the advent of AI with these systems like ChatGPT and Claude, Google Gemini, that the way we shop online is going to change. And Amazon's thoughts were, it's not just going to be, we need to throw an AI in the same system that we're using. It's, we're going to change the way people shop from the ground up. And I can totally see that, which, you know, you sit down to do your grocery shopping. As weird as it is, you might be verbally speaking to the AI. Might be like, hey, you having any parties, doing anything different this week? And if you're like, oh yeah, we're throwing a big barbecue, well, we're going to add a lot of items to what you need. But if you're like, no, just a regular week, okay, here's what I think you need. And there's your list. And you decide, is that what you want or not? And I think it would work very well for that. It is a time savings. Everybody wants to save time. No question about it. So I was interested in the fact that even the grocery stores are digging into AI and how it can help them. Obviously, make more money, whether that means they can do things more efficiently, whether that means less employees needed, or whether that just means you're going to have people buying more things because you're going to make the system in such a way that there'll be less forgotten items. Because that happens all the time. We'll get the groceries. The wife will be like, hey, where are the pickles? Oh, I forgot the pickles. Well, you don't go back out and buy the pickles. You wait till the next week to buy them. And well, that's some lost money for the grocery stores. Never forget the pickles. That's probably a good show title. But AI is going to be everywhere. And that is why all of these data centers are taking over. And I still can't wrap my head around it because the amount of data that people actually need is next to nothing. I mean, that hasn't really increased all that much, except for the fact that videos now and images are much higher resolution, so they take up much more disk space, much more bandwidth. But the reality is most people never look at that kind of stuff ever again. I wonder, for the people that take like 48 photos a day, it seems, when do you go back and look at those and why? Maybe from special occasions, maybe from birthdays, Father's Days of years past, but why on regular days, when are you going to go back and look at those? We thought it was bad with taking videos of kids when they were just camcorders on VHS or Hi-8 tapes. But those were limited because it wasn't easy to do. Now people have phones. They're taking videos of everything. They go to a concert and you have 30,000 morons taking 30,000 bad views of the same concert with horrible audio. That's a lot of data, but do we need it? The amount of electricity that goes into these data centers really make me question how the left, the Democrats here in the United States, aren't going crazy about this. And I have not heard any who are going crazy about this. So if anybody has seen that, let me know, because the green thing was big for a while. Oh no, the planet's gonna die. We have to start using less fossil fuels. We have to start using less coal. We have to start using less electricity. But now it's data center, data center, data center, data center, data center. It's hard to say over and over, data center. And I'm like, okay, how much? And I asked Grok for this, because of course, if you're going to get some information about how much electricity AIs and data centers are taking up, you may as well go right to the AI. And the nice thing about these is that they also give you links to verify the information that they're giving you. But in 2023, so right before the big AI boom really came out, the amount of electricity used in data centers was about 4.4% of all electricity in the United States. Now, these data centers were still doing things, of course. This is where you're, when you go shop at Amazon or Walmart, well, that's the data centers. They're the ones where the orders are being processed. Now, we're going through the big AI boom. A lot of data centers are being built. Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank's like, oh no, the United States is falling behind China because we're not building data centers fast enough. I don't know if that's true or not, but the intriguing thing would be the electricity usage. And according to Grok, the people that predict such things are predicting by 2028, somewhere between 6.7% and 12% of electricity in the United States is going to be sucked up by data centers, which were about 4.4 again, right before the big AI boom, very quickly going to triple within a couple of years from now, which seems accurate to me. It doesn't seem like this is some crazy prediction. And once you get to 2030, just a couple of years further down the line, they're saying it could be between 9 and 17%. And by 2035, one estimate would be that it would be 30 times what the level was in 2024. All for you to take videos on your phone, order from Amazon, use all those apps. It's interesting, isn't it? That, I mean, the world was going to die if we didn't stop using energy, and now we are throttling down, no question about it, on the amount of power and electricity that we're using. And for everybody that was like, we closed down all the coal plants, well, good luck with that. You don't want to build new nuclear plants? Good luck with that. Because the amount of power that it takes to run these things is immense. And right now, a lot of it is just being used to train these AIs. And there will be a drop off. I don't know when exactly that will be, but we already have AIs that can be run locally. I've talked about that more than a few times, that you can just drop it right in on a local machine, not use the data center. And what you get as a bonus there is you get pure privacy. Nobody's looking at your data. It's intriguing to me that people think that these huge companies that might be using this now are not going to have problems with their data being leaked. I can't imagine any company that's being run by anybody with a brain that would put their trade secrets into something like ChatGPT or Grok, or would put their ledgers in to show their financials. Not a very good idea. Local AIs, while they may not be as powerful, they allow you to have complete privacy where nobody gets to see your data. And these local AIs, as I probably mentioned a few times, where they're going is more and more specialized, where you go to ChatGPT, it knows everything. Well, knows is a strong word, but people are using it for everything from mathematics to creating images. And Grok, you could do some nice videos. And there's no question, just as a side note, that AI has already changed the landscape for a lot of professions. My friend runs a breakfast restaurant, breakfast and lunch. And when she used to need things, little thumbnails, little images to promote, well, it was, well, let me see if I can find an image, and then I have to add text over that, and maybe I can find something with a clip art that would make sense. So like 4th of July barbecue catering, that was the one today. And one, the information that she sent me was on a PDF, which used to be the biggest pain in the world, because you're like, oh, it's a PDF, it's all stylized. I have to go through and retype everything so I can get it into the website. Well, now I just take the PDF, went into ChatGPT and said, hey, turn this into text that I can use on a Squarespace site. While this isn't an ad for Squarespace, for people that are not web designers, and even if you are, if you just don't have the time, I think Squarespace does a decent job. So it gave me the text, and then I'm like, well, I need something in this exact size, which you can do. A lot of people aren't aware. If you give ChatGPT, I don't know about the other ones, but if you give ChatGPT, I need an image 1500 pixels by 700 pixels, it will create one in that size. And I'm like, well, use their logo and create the thumbnail for the barbecue promotion, and boom, it was done. Saved a lot of work, and it also puts anybody that's a graphic designer almost immediately out of business. And do you feel bad? No. Because that's the way the world works. I used to be a web designer. Now, I get much quicker and much better results. I mean, I still understand how HTML works and CSS and how everything boils down to the last little detail. But right now, for a quick and dirty site, you can go to any of these LLMs and give it the basic information and say, hey, create me the website. And it will. And it's amazingly accurate in what it produces. And that's where I was getting to with these local LLMs, which instead of having something like ChatGPT or Grok, which is a very wide-ranging model, people are training these things to only be good at writing. I mean, it can still do the other things, but its main skills would be in writing. You can have them, you can train it to do web design, you can train it to do all sorts of things, and that makes it a lot more useful I mean, yeah, you might not be able to have all of the same conversations and get all of the same answers, but if you're looking for a specific use case, what it does is it makes the LLMs small enough that you can run them locally without having to use a data center, without needing the cloud. It's a beautiful thing. And that's where I think we're going. And I know now that our groceries are going to be picked out by an AI, but no, I'm not going to let it do the whole thing. That scares me. I would never be like, oh yeah, okay, AI, understand what I've bought over the last 4 years. Pick everything out and just pay for it, and then I'll worry about it later. Now, I still want a few checks and balances, but that's really the only one. I am more than fine having the AI put everything in the cart, and then I can just click no if I don't want something, and I can add something, but I would probably be 80% of the way there when I loaded up the site to do the shopping rather than starting from zero. Which would be nice. And I don't know if that's worth all of the power that these data centers and everything else are putting out, but I don't see it going away anytime soon. I don't see people going, oh, you know what? Yeah, we don't want that AI anymore. It's too addictive for a lot of things. It was interesting in the survey from Meyer, like, what do you use AI for, and how much do you use AI every day? And I had to think about that. You know, it's probably an hour or two a day just from the fact that I don't go to Google anymore. Almost all searches goes to one of the AIs rather than to Google. If I need an image, you go to the AI. If I'm doing a podcast like this one, when this show is done, I take the audio from this show, I feed it into Mac Whisper, which gives me the transcript. I feed the transcript into an AI. Lately, it has been Grok. Grok produces the chapters, and that's already the JSON file. So everything for the chapters it does, it creates the 2 to 3 paragraph hype thing that goes on the page with the episode telling everybody, hey, here's what was talked about today. Here's why you want to listen. That's all AI written. And then I go to the AI to create the album art. And most of it at this point is automated. Most of it is taking much less time than me doing those same things in the past manually, which is what I was doing. Before the AI, I was doing chapters before the AI existed, and it went something like this. I would record the random thoughts, and then I would have to play it back and listen to myself, which, why would I want to do that? I just said it. But I would have to go back and do some basic chapters, which were much shorter and much less because I just was not wanting to spend the time doing it. But some people want chapters. But it would have to be manually done, and then I'd have to look and go, okay, here's the time code. But the chapters need it in seconds, so I had to have like a calculator handy because it's like, okay, this happened at 26 minutes and 80, or not 80 seconds. That doesn't exist. That'd be into the next minute. 26 minutes and 42 seconds. Oh, how many seconds is that overall? Don't have to worry about any of that now because the AI exists and it does the work for me. So I'm like, yeah, definitely use AI for a few hours a day, both for fun. But one of the things was, do you use it for, I think it was images. Do you use it for this? Do you use it as a friend or a therapist? It's like, no, the people that do that are insane because that's not what AIs are good at. Do not use an AI as your therapist. Do not use an AI as your financial advisor. There are some things you don't want to leave to the AI. Now, can AI give you a good stock pick every now and then? Probably. If it's able to find some pattern that the meat bags aren't figuring out on their own. But you have to know what AIs are actually doing. They're not thinking yet. Everybody wants to talk about how smart the AIs are. I will point out again and again that AIs are not smart. They're good at pattern matching. They're good at some things. They're getting very good at editing photographs, which very interesting to me now that the main page, the main screen you get when you load up Adobe Photoshop, the first thing they're like, do you want to edit something with AI? Like, this is unbelievable to me that this is Adobe within Photoshop prompting you first and foremost, just go edit it with AI. Why do you want to do the work? For most people, that is probably true. It is amazing to me what these AIs can do as far as image editing. So you can put in an image that you took of the castle in Disney World that's owned by those evil people at Disney who love The View, which is the worst show on television. I mean, if you didn't listen to this week's Planet Rage, a show that I do with Larry Blyder, you got to go check it out. PlanetRage.show. We had a clip of Sunny Hostin, one of the dumbest women on the planet. I mean, dumbest people. I really shouldn't just put that on women. She is one of the dumbest people on the face of the earth, talking about the Obama Center, which isn't a library, Bill O'Reilly. O'Reilly's been covering this thing for a couple of days, and he keeps calling it the Obama Library. It is not a library. It's an Obama Center. It does not contain one paper from Barack Obama's presidency. Does anybody know that? It is not an actual presidential library. It looks like a prison. It looks like something out of some communist utopia. But Sonny Hostin's like, oh, well, they put this in the Jackson Park neighborhood, which was really in need of some, you know, revitalization, and goes on and on and on. It's like, there is no Jackson Park neighborhood, ma'am. There's only Jackson Park, which is an actual park. They took away parkland to build this building. It's not in a neighborhood. There is no Jackson Park neighborhood. But she said it like, oh, yes, well, of course, it's in the historic, she called it, Jackson Park neighborhood. The woman does not know what she's talking about. As most talking heads on television, on social media, and the mainstream media, pretty much everywhere, do not believe what people are telling you. Even me. Double check. Find sources. If you hear something and you're like, man, that doesn't sound right. Because there are a lot of people that are straight out gaslighting you, and there's a lot of people that are straight out morons, which is why we came up with the title on this week's Planet Rage, which was it imbecile, ignorant, or liar? I think it was. Which is the question you have to ask with so many people now. Don't ask your AI. It can't help you. Do not use it as your therapist. But it is quite useful if you want to do chapters for podcasts. It's very useful if you want to organize some things. It's fairly good at mathematics, although not 100%. I've noticed you always have to double check your work. But for editing photos, yes, it's very wild. I mean, you can have a picture of somebody that you're like, oh, I love the picture of Jimmy, but he's holding that stupid trash bag because he was cleaning up. You could just type in to the AI, including the one in Photoshop, remove the garbage bag, click, gone. It's utterly wild that it can do things like that, which back in the day took a lot of skill. Like, you'd have to recreate a hand or figure out how you're with the things that you're going to remove. Well, what was behind it? How am I going to make this look good? The AIs are pretty good at that. So don't believe anything that you see. I know I mentioned that on a lot of episodes, but don't believe anything you see online, because the ability to edit images is beyond the scope of what most people realize. And the most dangerous and the most realistic, I think, is when you are leaving parts of a photograph, which could be a person's face, it could be a location, that really sells the lie. Oh yeah, this looks like Jimmy in his man cave. You can tell there's the slot machine in the back there. Don't believe it. do not believe anything you see online. But you can believe that the Random Thought Show is a value for value proposition. That means I put them out there. They're not behind a paywall. You get to decide once listening to the show if you've gotten any value out of the show whatsoever. If so, go over to Random Thoughts, randumbthoughts.com/donate. All of the information is there, including the button that you can use for a PayPal one-time or monthly donation, QR codes, wallet addresses if you want to do the crypto thing. There's a P.O. box address. There is our Cash App. I guess you'd call it a handle, $ Ozzie Ball, OZZIEBALL. If you're using that, please just mention random or something so I know which show it's for. All that information is there. And we have a few people to thank today. I mean, including Mark Kodra. He is here every show. But we have a few other people to thank, which makes this an extra special episode of the Random Thoughts podcast. Maybe that 366 logo on the last album, Mark, got people to look. It's like, hey, that's like Route 66, 100 years. But no, 366. We've done a lot of shows here. But coming in with $7.88 is Sir Anonymous, the twice-knighted Black Knight Viscount of the ADFC and Arapahoe County. Yeah, that's a no-agenda title if I've ever heard one. Coming in with the $7.88. And he had a nice note in here, including that he's donated a few times and was the first ever expert over at Grumpy Old Ben's, the show that I did, which was very tech related and then kind of went into politics. So it was tech and politics with Ryan Bemrose. And we keep talking about bringing that show back. It might still happen, Sir Anonymous. His being Ryan, his schedule has changed a few times and we maybe can get this going. We always had fun. And there's a lot of tech stuff to talk about, but now it would be like, hey, I love doing this in AI. And Ryan's saying, I hate AI. I mean, that would pretty much be the whole show, but it would still probably be entertaining. He says, now I'm listening to the Random Thoughts podcast and enjoying the discussions about privacy, censorship, and other such stuff. Yeah, we do hit that a lot. And I think it is worthy because a lot of people just don't pay any attention to how much of their information is going out there. Even if you are using your ISP's DNS, they have a listing of every website that you go to. So you want something like a pie hole, which Sir Anonymous mentions in here as well. He says, I'm donating $7.16 plus fees to this show. It's the amount I received recently from Facebook. It's a settlement of members of a class action lawsuit. Yeah, there've been a few of those recently. A lot of your data, not safe. That's why these data centers, I love it. Just keep putting more data in the cloud, everybody. Nothing can go wrong. And he says, I don't trust that PayPal will deliver the comments. I know they do disappear every now and then. And he said, after the death of the Winston device, oh, I love that thing. The Winston device, I knew it wasn't going to be long-term for the world because governments didn't like it. The Winston device was kind of a device that was a VPN that only worked with small amounts of data, meaning it ignored your Netflix stream. It ignored all of that. If you were streaming audio or you were streaming video, it ignored that. But for everything else that you were doing, it daisy chained a bunch of users and randomly used other users' modems to send the request, meaning their account and saying their modem. Basically, it obfuscated who was sending the request for the web page or whatever it was, which was a great way to be nearly 100% private with a lot of things. But of course, if somebody was hacking the Pentagon and it was coming through your ISP, through your IP address, well, then you might get a call. And I understand why some people were kind of iffy with that. But the story from the company was, well, you could just point to this thing and be like, I don't know, other people are using my account. But I could see why it didn't last. But it was fun while it lasted. He said, I set up my own pie hole using a Raspberry Pi. Yeah, which I still recommend. I still use the pie hole. It is very low maintenance once it's set up. And when I got this note from Sir Anonymous, I looked up what a Raspberry Pi costs now because of data centers, because of the lack of memory being available, because of the lack of the memory chips and the hard drives rather being available. A Raspberry Pi 5 now in the kit with everything you need is like $250. No, do not spend that if you have an old laptop laying around. If you have an old laptop, put Linux on it, put a Pi hole on it, and you are golden. It is nearly set it and forget it. But that's where Sir Anonymous mentions he has been using or tried Unbound, which is another DNS server that you can run locally. And it's funny because I was just looking at that. I'm like, oh, do I want to upgrade from a Pi hole to that? And he's like, it ran fine, but required too much maintenance by the user. And I'm like, okay, see, now that's talking me right out of that. And he just went the easy route of using a VPN server client and a home router combined with an encrypted DNS service, NextDNS, to protect the privacy. It's a little more expensive, he says, but less time. And of course, time is money. You are absolutely correct, Sir Anonymous. And thank you both for the note, for listening, and for supporting the show. It is very much appreciated. And Grumpy Old Benz is not yet dead, just in a very deep hiatus. Then, of course, coming in with $5.55, Mark Kodra, the guy that is donating to each and every show. Finally, you have some friends coming along as well, Mark. It is very much appreciated. Thank you for supporting all of these shows and really embracing the value for value model. Coming in at $5. Oh, our local buddy around the Chicago area, Ron V, coming in with $5. Met him at a No Agenda meetup. He said, good show this week. We lost power from 3 a.m. until 9:30 a.m. from the storms. Funnel cloud went right over our house. Well, you got lucky if that's the only amount of time you lost, because it was crazy around here. Days and days and days. But that's, again, what do you expect in Illinois? That's the greatest. J.B. Pritzker, he keeps everything just humming. Well, no, he pretty much lies and blames everybody else. Usually Donald Trump. But I digress. Illinois politics should be for another show. And coming in at $3.93, just said, make it anonymous. So we will thank you, Anonymous, Ron V, Mark Kodra, and of course, Sir Anonymous, the twice knighted Black Knight, Viscount of the ADFC and Arapaho County, for supporting this little show, the Random Thoughts Podcast. If you want to support the show, if you got any value out of this show, did you laugh? Did you cry? Was it better than Cats? Random Thoughts, randumthoughts.com/donate. With that said, I plan on being back again next week with yet another edition of the show. So join me if you can. Help donate, tell a friend, leave a review, any of those things. Post about it on social media. And then I will be back with you again next week. Until then, I am Darren O'Neill. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.